Hartglass, and you are listening to It's All About Food. It's September 25th, 2012, and here we are. I'm in the studio in Manhattan, New York. It's a beautiful day. The air is fresh. The sky is clear, and it's really lovely to be alive. So I'm thankful for that. So much in the news about food. I just wanted to mention a few things. Arsenic in our rice and genetically modified organisms in our corn that are making tumors in rats and who knows what else they're doing. All these things are exploding this week in the news. And the question is, where can we go to get food that's not only good for us, but not contaminated with things that we don't want to eat? And honestly, I don't know that I have the answers, because everything is connected on this planet. And when people are doing things in one place, it affects our water. It affects our air. The best that we can do, there's a few things. One is we can buy from farmers and stores that have organic produce, because that's the best that we can do. But in this latest study that came out about arsenic in rice, we know that even organic rice is affected. So that's kind of daunting. But in addition, I always like to say this, and I think this is really important, even though it may seem very undocumented and trivial, and that is, whenever you eat, whatever you eat, enjoy it. Don't worry about it when you're eating it, and tell your body to take the good from the food and leave the things that aren't good for you out and let them pass through. Just let your body know that, and it will listen. We have really powerful minds if we use them correctly. So don't panic. But certainly, if you have an opportunity, write your congresspeople, let them know we don't want to have arsenic in our rice. And how do we do that? Well, we stop using toxic herbicides and pesticides in agribusiness, and we get rid of factory farms because they're giving arsenic to chickens because they're unhealthy, and the arsenic kind of keeps them going until they're slaughtered, and then they poop, and there's arsenic in their excrement, and that's used as manure, and it's put on all the fields growing all the plants, and that's how the arsenic gets into the ground, where we don't want it. Okay, so just a little bit of food for thought to get started. And now I want to bring on my first guest. Maya Dow graduated from Russell Sage College, and she received a Bachelor of Science in Nursing. And when she graduated, she took a position with the New York Hospital Cornell Medical Center, which is now a New York Presbyterian Hospital, and she worked in the Burn Trauma Unit, ICU, and became a charge nurse. And after that, she worked with Johnson & Johnson as a clinical research associate in medical immunobiology. And she worked with J&J for a total of 15 years in quality assurance and training for clinical R&D as well. But what we're going to be talking about today is what she experienced being the mother of a son who was diagnosed at a very early age with autism. And this is really a fascinating story. I think we have a lot to learn from it. So let's just jump right in. Welcome to It's All About Food, Maya.
Thank you, Karen. It's really wonderful to be here today. Just listening to you speak a little bit in your intro about toxicity in food brings me back. My son is actually 22 years old now, and he was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder when he was only 2.5. And that was back in 1993. So there was no internet. We've talked about this. Autism wasn't blown wide open like it is today. And we didn't know everything we now know about food, about gluten and dairy and large proteins that get in the way of the immune and mental processing for children with autism.
You know, even with the internet and everything that's available to us today, there are still many people that don't have this information, and many people struggle with autism. Now, how did you know that your son had a problem at 2.5 years old?
Well, You know, you hear so much about children where they had pretty much normal, typical development until the age of 2 or 3 and then started to lose their words and their function. In our case, I think there was potentially some toxicity or an environmental viral trigger maybe going on much earlier, because by the time Brian was 1, it was clear to me that something was a little different. He had trouble crawling, and he had a couple of words leading into age 2, never put 2 words together, which is one of the things you do look for. And then by age 2.5 had lost that. Mm-hmm. I was working and he was in a nursery program and he was not interacting with the other children, not following directions, kind of going off by himself. And the reason I found out at age 2.5, even though I was suspecting things, my medical doctors were not supporting it. And my older sister, believe it or not, who had 3 boys of her own, came to watch my son over Christmas, and she made the observation and shared it with me, which is a lucky thing, because when you have a child with autism, the sooner you know, the sooner you start limiting their foods and giving them the right supplements and the right behavioral teaching, the better chance you have of helping
early
them.
Diagnosis for everything is so critical. And it's all about paying attention.
Exactly.
Okay. And then what did you do?
Well, the most important thing was to get a full, what they call a differential diagnosis, by a hospital. In our case, we already suspected autism, so we went directly. I live in New Jersey, and there are, in the Princeton area, a couple of very well-known and expert programs in autism, and we brought Brian directly there to Eden Institute, and they did an observational diagnosis where they're trying to interact with the child, watching his interaction with the parents, and then doing, you know, some very specific problem-solving coordination testing. But mostly it's the connectedness. And he didn't have language. I guess that's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
He avoided eye contact, and he didn't have language, and he would scream because he couldn't communicate.
Now, did you see a difference? A 2.5, it's really hard to know. But do you think there was something that triggered it, an event? And could you maybe tell a difference? I know when kids are older and they've already started to develop, their parents see an on-off difference. Their child just changes and they're never the same, and they try and figure out what it was that triggered it.
Well, in my case, I wasn't sure if it might have been the oral polio vaccine. My son got a second dose of it, and I did see more of a regression following that. But in his case also, I was always watching children at the park, watching the way they moved, use the swings, motor coordination, and eye contact and connectedness. And although my son was always very cuddly and there wasn't that missing piece, those other things were never what they should have been. And he was very sick from a very young age and had a lot of problems with digestion. He was breastfed, and at times when sometimes my milk supply wasn't the best and we tried infant formula, he would projectile vomit the formula. He had a lot of chronic diarrhea as a baby, and so I think that there was a digestion absorption problem going on from the get-go, and that maybe our story was a little bit different because of that, because you need those proteins and nutrients in order to develop proper neurological function.
Autism is a word that's used all the time today, and it covers a wide range, and there is no like blood test for autism. It's a subjective kind of diagnosis, and people don't always fit into a particular mold. And I think it's because there's a lot more to it. We may attribute autism to a lot of different problems, and it may be more than one or two or three or four. There's a lot of different things, but it's convenient in some ways to be diagnosed as autistic because then you can benefit from some state aid with schools and help. And so some parents may want to have this diagnosis for their children. But we don't know a whole lot about it. And the thing is, I think many different things can trigger some of the symptoms that your son had. And that's what makes it so hard to figure out what to do about it, because there are probably many different causes. Some people believe it's vaccines, even though, you know, the science is trying to dispute that all the time. And I'm fascinated with this concept that we are the eggs in our mother's womb were formed in our grandmother's womb. And so our DNA started two generations back and could have been affected by so many different things a long, long time ago. It's really hard to keep track of what might cause developmental problems. Okay, so you were on a path and you did a lot of different things. So what are some of the key things that you did that helped?
Well, I do want to say that we followed the theory of autism being multifactorial, so that there are many different things that contribute to the problem. And in order to heal a child, you have to look at that from many different angles as well. So the first thing we did is get my son into a one-on-one behavioral teaching program, and he was very fortunate to be accepted into the Douglas Developmental Disabilities Center at Rutgers University in New Jersey. And he was in their outreach program almost right away. And that early intervention every day makes a difference, mm-hmm. because there is that window, even though we now know that neuroplasticity exists well into adulthood in all our lives, the brain is much more plastic between the ages of 2 and 5. And that is a window for recovery and reteaching and establishing that connectedness. But in our case, because I worked in medical immunobiology and I was looking at all these various different studies in my work, I started to see some parallels with certain immune deficiencies and what I observed going on with my son. And lo and behold, when we had him tested, he did have immune dysfunction. So the other piece is it was very difficult for him to gain weight. We would find a connection between wheat and dairy before the big studies came out of Scandinavia establishing the connection with wheat, gluten, and autism. And the way we saw it was he'd wake up in the morning, Karen, and he would be the best he was all day. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he'd start putting things in his mouth, it would be downhill from there.
Wow.
And if he would get a bagel and cream cheese, one of our favorite things to eat in my family, he would start spinning himself in the middle of the floor, toe walking, kind of going off more in his own world. So in a certain sense, it was very obvious, even at 2, that something in the food he was eating was, at the very least, making this problem worse. And
good for you for paying attention. Most people don't. You know, we see such subtle things like teachers probably know this, but when kids have birthday parties in their classroom and their parents, you know, want to celebrate and they bring in cupcakes and candy. And then afterwards, they leave their children in the hands of the poor teachers who now have to deal with this sugar overload and the behavioral changes in the kids. And
people love to say those don't exist,
yeah.
But, you know, those of us who are observant know they do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, so you found this connection. Now, what is it? It's this leaky gut thing that happens.
Exactly.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. You know, it's hard to know what comes first, a horse or the cart. Does the leaky gut come first, and then you have the problem with gluten and dairy and other large proteins? Or do the large proteins assault the gut lining?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this hyperpermeability. I believe in my son's case, since this was observable almost from birth, that it had to do with toxicity. I ate a lot of tuna fish all my life, almost every day when I was pregnant. So I think I had a high mercury burden myself. And I know there's a lot of controversy surrounding the thimerosal, which was the mercury preservatives used in the vaccines 20 years ago, in almost all of them when my son was diagnosed. But I do believe that the toxicity from our environment is disruptive to that gut lining. And children that are experiencing this are having those large molecules get through the leaky gut, and they circulate as toxins to the nervous system, neurotoxins, and to the immune system. And these kids tend to get sick a lot. They're on a lot of antibiotics, which leads to fungal overgrowth and an imbalance of the friendly bacteria in the gut. And it just goes on and on and on like a snowball, making everything worse. So for a parent to try to unravel all of this, it's a lot of pieces to put together, and it's not easy.
Right. The thing about the wheat and dairy, for a lot of people, I think they just don't believe it will work. And it takes a tremendous amount of effort for parents raising a young child to monitor that and make sure that they keep what they're not even sure are problems out of the diet.
Right. It's hard to commit to something that's so difficult to do when you're not sure really where it's going to get you or your child regarding improvement in their communication, in their eye contact, in their ability to learn.
And then the other thing with autistic children, I understand, is that they're finicky eaters.
You are so right. They are amazingly finicky eaters, and the reason is because they have a hypersensitivity to touch, to the texture of the food. And it relates to their processing problems, just like there can be a hypersensitivity to sound or what we call tactile defensiveness to being touched on the skin. It's the same thing with the texture of food in the mouth. But one thing I can say is that it is so worth doing, and it's so much easier to do today to eliminate the gluten, which is the protein in the wheat, and the casein in the dairy. And these products are available in ShopRite and everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. I was sending away from grains from Canada 20 years ago. And when the children are little, if you have the luxury of having a child that's diagnosed early, it is so much easier to control them. The hard thing is when they go to school and they're out of the house and they feel different and see other kids having things they can't have. But one thing, since I know we don't have tremendous time, that I do want to get across to parents is if you try the GFCF diet, which is the gluten-free, casein-free diet that is widely known about in the field of autism now, please be aware that when you have a leaky gut lining, which means large molecules are getting through the intestinal lining that shouldn't be getting through, because that semi-permeable membrane is now more wide open, more permeable than it should be, like a sponge that's wearing out. Be aware that if they can't break down one large protein, like gluten, for instance, chances are they can't break down a lot of large chain proteins. So you tend to see a much better result if you can take all of them away at once. And so by that I mean soy, corn, eggs, any large molecule that you know about. And, you know, that part sounds harder to do than you think, because now with all this awareness, you can find cookies, shakes, drinks that will say on the label, no wheat, dairy, corn, soy, eggs.
The top allergens.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's easier now, but still there are a lot of people struggling because for some reason, I don't know, we all need some sort of Spock mind meld or something so that we all come to the same place at the same time. But a lot of doctors don't know these things still. And certainly a lot of parents don't, and a lot of parents struggle financially and with their jobs, and how much time do they have to look on the internet or research? It can be really overwhelming. I'm sure your nursing background helped you a lot in understanding what you were reading and where to go to look for information.
It did help me a lot. I was very fortunate, not just in my nursing background, but in the job I had at the time in clinical research with Johnson & Johnson, that I was lucky enough to be exposed to information that made me wonder if this was a factor for my son and to look into it. And one of those things was digestive enzymes, for instance. I was looking at a study in children with cystic fibrosis, and they were taking digestive enzymes because they didn't make them and were digesting food very well doing that. So I sought out enzymes for my son, and now we know that anybody that doesn't digest and break down foods well can be helped by taking enzymes with their foods so that you can get those smaller building blocks that our bodies need to make things like neurotransmitters, antibodies, hormones.
The interesting thing, well, you know, nature's smart, and nature has figured out a lot of things for all life on Earth. And she's figured out what humans need, and we've kind of gone in our own direction and reconfigured things, and we're eating all of the wrong things. And I find that a lot of the things that work for one chronic disease or one illness work for another. That's the magic of this plant-based diet. When you eat it, you're reducing your risk significantly for all the chronic diseases. The diet that works for cardiovascular problems works for diabetes, works for cancer, works for multiple sclerosis, works for all the autoimmune diseases. It works, works, works. And a lot of the nutrients that we're lacking are because we're not getting it from our food like we should. Right now, vitamin D is the sexy vitamin because everybody's saying, you know, it prevents this and that and everything else because everybody's working indoors and we're afraid of skin cancer. So what supplements were you giving your son?
Well, I brought my son to nutritional doctors, and it was very difficult in the beginning 22 years ago to find physicians who were interested in being a pioneer in this area with children with developmental disabilities. And the doctor who has been with my son for 13 years and really made one of the biggest differences for us is Dr. Kenneth Bach. He's up at the Rhinebeck Health Center, and Dr. Bach practices integrative medicine. I think he actually was the president or head of the Integrative Medicine Association for a number of years. And what's good about that is when you have a child that's dealing with a critical situation, sometimes you need to put a Band-Aid on it, and that Band-Aid can be a pharmaceutical or a dietary change that might mean we do have to include certain things for a while that ultimately you wouldn't want to. So I had a lot of medical guidance for Brian, and I got many of his supplements from directly from his doctors. But I love Kirkman Labs. They're based out of, I think it's Oregon, and they have many special supplements that have been specifically designed for children with autism, developmental disabilities, children that can't have wheat and dairy and many of the allergens. And they were one of the first companies to come out with an enzyme called dipeptidyl peptidase 4. We like to call it DPP4 for short.
Can you say that again? You said that so well.
Let's just say DPP4. And this is the enzyme that many children with autism and related disorders don't have, and they don't make well themselves. And when you take this enzyme with food, you can open the capsule, sprinkle it on the child's food. That way, they're not developing these, what I call, intermediate breakdown products. Like, for instance, when you eat wheat and dairy together and it's broken down only halfway, that forms a morphine-like substance called casomorphin. And guess what? That can make you completely disconnected.
Brain fog.
You know, in brain fog, hard to concentrate and all those other things.
Pizza.
Exactly. Pizza, macaroni and cheese, cereal and milk, like what do kids love to eat? So it's putting them in this fog almost all the time, and the actual reaction from the gluten can be a delayed reaction, so it can be hard for parents to observe. So it's important to take those enzymes, and it's such an easy thing you can do. You want to avoid wheat and dairy as often as possible if you're trying this diet approach. But sometimes with kids, you can, or it's hard, and that's where the enzymes come in. They help tremendously, and it helps to break down the food into usable subsets that their bodies can regulate themselves naturally the way they need to do. So I know I'm getting off on a tangent.
That's great.
But I just want to say that even though my son was in one of the best one-on-one programs teaching the applied behavioral analysis, ABA, which is the standard one-on-one therapy, as we began to unravel the medical side of the autism and clean up his diet and heal the leaky gut, he became so much more teachable. So instead of running a program 500 times, we can run it 15 times or 5 times, and he'd have it. He could generalize skills easier. So I just feel that the idea of a puzzle piece being a symbol for autism is so perfect. And we need to use that to remember that there are many pieces to this puzzle.
And the more you put together, the easier it is to solve the rest of the puzzle.
Right.
Yeah, I like that very much.
And and each time you put a piece in, you don't take it out when you look for the next piece. Those pieces have to stay in. I'm doing my one-on-one teaching. I'm taking those large proteins, the wheat and dairy, out of the diet. I'm adding enzymes. At the same time, doing some vision therapy if the child needs it. My son had trouble with every processing system. He needed auditory training. And as he got older and he was declassified, actually, from his primary diagnosis of autism at age 7, he still had residual processing problems with vision, motor coordination, and processing auditory directions. So what you need to know is to keep adding those pieces in and doing those therapies, but don't take the other pieces out. Don't forget what got you to that point. You have to maintain the diet. And one thing I don't know if we have time to talk about is also toxicity.
Well, just briefly. Sure.
Okay, so you talked about eating a clean diet, vegan diet, and this is where it's difficult for children that have textural problems, but I've seen so many great recipes that you have for making juices, and you can actually make fun cookies out of gluten-free with adding vegetable juices and other good nutrients in. It's a wonderful thing to do. But you also want to be careful to avoid the processed foods that have so many additives and toxins in them. And not only that, but we need to be aware of toxins on our skin, products we put on our children's skin, what's in our water at home. So
there's a lot to think about, and it all matters.
Right.
It all matters.
So it is so far-reaching, but you need to be aware of toxicity, and just eating clean and close to the earth really helps these children so much, because it's hard to be reading the labels on every single thing.
Right. Well, the good news is that your son has done very well. He's an honor student in physics, and he's a senior in college, and he's a jazz musician, and he's got many close friends, and he's doing well. So I congratulate you for that. We're going to take a break now, and we'll be back with my second guest. And Maya, stick around, and you can join me in the next half. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. Check out my website, responsibleeatingandliving.com, where you can find lots of information, and send me an email at info@realmeals.org. We'll be right back. We're back. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Okay, we're going to change things up a little bit, and I'm going to bring on my next guest, John Hines. He is a master trainer and business founder with over 30 years of global training experience. With his broad knowledge of human physiology and simple training philosophies, John has mastered the art of healing and strengthening the body. His dedication to these disciplines has yielded numerous patented training tools and a unique training methodology that continue to attract Olympic and professional athletes from all over the globe. And he's the owner and founder of the Monkey Bar Gym franchise and the vice president of Lifeline USA, a global leader in fitness innovation and product distribution. He's a graduate of the University of Wisconsin, the National Academy of Sports Medicine, and is certified by the National Strength and Conditioning Association. Super. Welcome to It's All About Food. You're Superman.
Thanks, Karen. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks.
Okay. Well, I hope my listeners go to my website, Responsible Eating and Living, and check out what this guy looks like, because he's an awesome specimen of humanity. You have some websites yourself. Where can people go to find out about you?
They can go to monkeybargym.com, and if they want to see more of my own training and nutrition and stuff like that, they can go to Johnny Hines. That's JohnnyHinds.blogspot.com. And that's my blog, basically telling you how I eat and train and restore my body.
Okay, let's talk about each of those things just briefly.
Sure.
How do you eat?
100% plant-based for about the last 12 years.
Woo! And you look that good, and you can get all that strength and muscle. How does that happen?
It's crazy how many times people ask that, where do you get your protein and stuff like that? And I always say, just, you know, all plants have proteins in them. Almost, if you eat strong plant foods, you're going to get strong. And you can eat plant wrong, too, and a lot of people do, and that's what's given us a tough go about it sometimes, because so many people who have eaten just cheap plant foods, you know, like potato chips and Kool-Aid, and they think they're plant-based, you know, they give it a bad name, and people get a stereotype that you can't eat plant-based and be super strong and lean and energetic, and that's completely false. And we're proving that. I mean, my gym is the only gym in the world that's plant-based. All the trainers are lean and strong and vibrant, and we're excellent examples of what can be achieved by eating a plant-based diet and also training in a completely functional way.
I love it. Now, we were talking earlier on the show about doing things from the inside out. And I know that there are many athletes out there that look really stunning on the outside, but they're not eating the right foods, and they are not as stunning inside.
Right.
They can...
And that's real common. I mean, about most, you see it happen where they're young athletes, they're okay, and they can get away with it. But as they get longer into their careers, things start creeping up on them. They have the back pain in the morning when they get out of bed. The back aches start to hurt them during their games. They have the tight hips, hamstrings. And it's just from a lack of movement, one, doing things in a balanced manner, and also eating a diet that creates health from the inside out, like a plant-based diet does.
Right. Now, what is the art of healing from your point of view that you have mastered?
That's doing things in a manner that creates balance in your life, making you feel happy and healthy, basically, is the goal. And that's a question that I constantly want. I ask myself that all the time. Am I feeling good, healthy? Am I happy? And if I'm achieving those things, I know I'm on a good path. If I'm listening to my gut, my heart, and I always strive to go by that, listen to my gut. And when I eat good, healthy foods from the earth, that makes me feel good, healthy, and happy. When I train in a way that's instinctive and it's movement-based, it's not muscle-based, because we focus on movements, not muscles. Mm. And when you do that, you're connecting to the way that we've moved for thousands and millions of years as primates. We move by crawling, climbing, running, and jumping and reacting. And that's the exact way that I've trained everybody since I started training some 30-some years ago, and it works because it's fun and it's instinctive. And when you put those things together, you have a recipe for long-term health, especially with a diet that is instinctive and natural for us, which is a plant-based diet. And you're doing things that are, when they're fun and they're healthy, and they improve both your movement and you from the inside out, how can it be wrong? And that's what creates that balance in the body and in the mind. It gives a long-term health so that, you know, you can do anything that you want at any age that you want. And that, to me, is the goal.
Now, I've heard a lot of guys that are weightlifters, they say that they have to have animal protein in order to really get big.
Right. And that's just that mindset. They're still stuck in the matrix, basically, that that's the only way. And those are, you know, so many people will still say, well, you got to bench press. Well, you have to do, you know, your leg curls and blah, 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 stuff like that. It's just an old mindset. They're stuck. And so what needs to happen is what we've been doing. I mean, I'm 49 years old. I could still dunk a basketball, and I'm strong as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I point those things out is not for ego, but it's to stress the point that you can do anything that you want at any age, and you do not need to rely on the animal products in order to do that. It's a complete myth.
I like that. You can do anything you want at any age. Let's underline that. That's so important. People think that they get older and they're supposed to get aches and pains and slow down and feel miserable.
No. No, you're not supposed to have aches and pains. You're not supposed to slow down. If you choose in your mind that you're getting old, you will get old. Yeah, and if you choose in your mind that you'll stay young and vibrant, you know, and you do things that support it, like moving, like putting foods that are high nutrient dense foods into your body that support fast recovery, that allow you to continue to train and move at a high level, there's no end to what you can achieve. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's magic.
Everything that we can do.
It sounds too good to be true. It's so simple. Now, what about your style of exercising? What goes on in the Monkey Bar Gym? What's there and what isn't there?
There is no machines there. There's no mirrors there. And we don't wear shoes generally most of the time. So it's no shoes, no mirrors, no machines. And been training that way for a long time. I've been going barefoot for 17 years in my training. And it's caught on over the last 5 or 6 years. You know, people are starting to do it. But we have protocol to everything that we do so that we teach people how to do all these things in a safe manner. Because it's good for you, but you got to learn how to progress into it. But those are the things that we don't have in the gym. The things that we do have in the gym are movements that are fun and instinctive. Like we teach people how to crawl. We teach people how to walk on their hands at their level. We teach people how to climb ropes and do chin-ups and pull-ups and swing from bars at their level. We teach people how to run and jump at their level. And what I stress is their level. So no matter where you are, what level that you are at, whether you're 80 years old, you're an 18-year-old teenager that's full of energy, it doesn't make a difference. If let's say you're an 18-year-old and I'm an 80-year-old and I've never worked out and you're on the high school volleyball team and you're a stud, well, then you would do jumping drills today, maybe resisted, where I would do a simple squat that prepares me for, if I wanted to, someday to jump. But it's slower movement. It's working towards full range of motion. That's what beginners at the Monkey Bar Gym do, in which we call stability level, because that's you're just gaining your balance and your movement. And that's the safest, smartest way to indoctrinate somebody into relearning how to move again. And then that same movement of doing a squat is just accelerated to add speed to it so that they eventually are jumping, so that everybody can work out together, everybody can benefit from the same type movement, and all workouts are done in a way that we balance all types of movements, whether it's jumping and running or pushing and pulling, like, for example, walking on our hands and climbing a pole. Those are opposites, and they balance each other.
You know, I'm thinking about how good this is for so many reasons. You know, even people that really think they're fit and have a lot of muscle are not very flexible. And they might get themselves in a situation where they bend in the wrong direction and they rip, they tear, they break, they have problems.
Yes.
And then I also think about when we fall. Some people fall accidentally. Some people fall because they don't have balance or they have some problem. But I think you could talk more about this maybe. But when we learn how to move, when we learn how to react, we even learn how to fall so it doesn't hurt us.
Exactly. And we do that in every single class. We teach people how to do cartwheels. We teach people how to fall and roll forward, how to fall and roll backwards. We teach you how to crawl and then roll into a forward, roll into a standing position, to walking backwards and falling and rolling backwards back up onto your feet.
Sounds
like some of the gymnastics Karen and I did way back in the day.
That's right, when we were younger.
It is.
Yeah.
That stuff's fun, but like even that stuff, let's say a person's coming off an injury. Well, then they have to do stuff at a more basic level. And so what we do is a form of yoga called Aishin's Yoga, which is a very unique style of yoga that anybody can do it. And it's all about realigning the body to develop stability and mobility at the same time. But we do it with we can do it on our own, but you can also do it with a partner giving you hands-on feedback. And that's the thing about Aishin's Yoga that's truly unique. You can sometimes work with a partner and they can tell you, you know, to lengthen a little bit more here or resist your neck back a little bit more here, because we don't see those weak links. And working with another person, they can help you out to create strength where there was weakness beforehand. And that's a big premise of the gym.
I like it. You know, we need, I think we're learning more and more that humans have excelled and survived because of cooperation, not because of survival of the fittest.
Exactly.
Can I chime in a minute here?
Yeah, please.
Hi, my name is Maya Doe. I spoke earlier about my son with autism, and I'm listening to you talk, and one of the things that happened with my over-focusing on my son and all the energy that it took to heal him is that although I had been a very active and fit and athletic person, I lost a lot of that. I developed injuries, and I lost the confidence movement-wise to build that back up. And I did go to my traditional gyms where I live in New Jersey, and some of what happened from that is that I gained more injuries because it wasn't movement-based like you're describing. And people that are coming back to rebuild themselves, I'm listening to you talk about building balance and stability and moving through a natural field of movement, and I'm thinking that's exactly what I needed. And it's very difficult to find a facility that's geared that way. I'm very impressed.
Well, thank you. But it's, you can do it from your house. We have our workouts are free every day online.
Fabulous.
The Aishin yoga that I talked about, we made a DVD so that people can practice it at home, and I guarantee you that will help you out incredibly. If you just do the beginner sequence for a minimum 30 days straight, your life will change. I guarantee it.
Thank you very much.
And then after that, you follow the workouts at your level, which as you're starting, it would be stability level. And this is a level that my mom works out at. She's 81 years old.
Ooh.
She can now, after open heart surgery and having a stroke, she can now do a full hanging pull-up. She can do a squat with her feet all the way together, butt to heels.
Whoa.
And she can kick up into a handstand.
Wow.
That's fantastic. I'm all in for that video.
Definitely. We got it. Now, where do we find that?
Monkeybargym.com.
And
just on our store, you'll find the Aishin Yoga DVD, and you'll follow the beginner sequence for 30 days, minimum 30 days straight, and I guarantee your life will change. It's amazing.
Now, what about when you have an injury? Are there some that you should work out with, some you shouldn't work out with? Because a lot of people think when they're injured, they should just do nothing.
Yeah, see, that mindset, it's basically just a give-up mindset, and I hate that. And doctors oftentimes tell us, oh, just don't do anything. Well, that's not stimulating blood to flow through the body. You want blood to flow through the body. But let's say, for example, your knee hurts. Well, then just do things that don't make your knee hurt. That means you can do a push-up. You can do a pull-up. You can do if you use kettlebells, a kettlebell swing. You know, you can do tons of exercises that don't aggravate your knee. You can do almost the entire yoga sequence at whatever level that you want of bending your knee, as long as you don't bend it so much that it hurts. And what is that doing? It's stimulating flow of energy and blood through the body, and that's what helps to recover and heal the body. If you let it sit, it's stagnant. It's just like a traffic jam, and the police guy in the middle of the streets just saying, everybody just sit here. The traffic jam will miraculously clear itself. No. It's totally bogus to think that way. Move, and you will heal yourself.
How did you get to be so smart?
I study animals all the time. That's how I learned so much. And I was fortunate that my dad, you know, my dad is the head president of Lifeline USA. And he, at a very young age, he invented the Lifeline jump rope. And then he invented the Lifeline gym when I was a real little boy. So I started thinking outside the box as far as exercise from the time I was about 6 years old. And he introduced me because a lot of people liked his equipment when I was really little. So I got to meet a lot of pro athletes. And I always asked, how can this stuff help them move better? And then I always would look at how humans moved. And humans always moved in a segmented manner. And then I look at animals out in the wild, and they never moved in segments or isolation. They always moved whole body. And that always confused me as to why do humans move in isolation when every other species on the planet moves whole body. And so it never made sense to me. So from the time I was little, I always started moving whole body, and my performance was always high. But yet when I succumbed to training with my buddies and saying, what do you bench, basically, mentality, my performance dropped. So then when sensibility hit me again and just said, man, you don't need that stuff, I went back to training the way I used to. My performance went, you know, to incredibly high levels, to the point that I could hit my head on the basketball rim, and I'm only 6'1 and a half. And I hit my head on the rim. That's almost 48 inches, which almost nobody on the planet can jump that high.
Wow.
And that made me realize there's something to moving full body. And so I just then applied it to every other type of movement that we do, whether it's pushing or pulling. And the results have always been phenomenal with myself and my athletes that I train. And then 12 years ago, I just thought, well, why not bring it to the masses? Why not teach everybody how to move this way, how to restore their body with the ice and yoga, and how to eat plant-based so that we heal ourselves from the inside out? And it's working incredibly well. We're affecting tens of thousands of people all over the world. We're in 6 continents now, and we're growing really fast. And it's really exciting right now, everything that's happening.
You are awesome. You are just awesome.
Thank you. I do my best. I'm trying to help the planet and people.
I just love the energy.
As best I can.
I just love the energy that's coming out here that I'm feeling from you. You really have some good positive stuff going on. Now, you talked about getting up in the morning and asking yourself, kind of checking in and seeing how you're feeling and if you're happy. And, you know, a lot of people aren't.
Yes.
What do you do to kind of get to motivate people and help them along to find joy?
Well, you got to really truthfully ask yourself, am I happy? You know, and am I doing things that make me happy? You know, am I listening to my gut? And as Bruce Lee used to say, be like water, my friend, be like water. And that meant flow. That means do not resist life, whether it's martial arts or business or relationships. You know, you got to flow, go with the flow. And that means, you know, like, it doesn't necessarily mean just eat ice cream and lay around all day. It doesn't mean that. No, the objective is to do things that make us happy and do things that help the planet and people, because that is what we are all here for. We are not just here to help ourselves. We are here to help each other to evolve to a higher place, whatever that may be for each person, but to help make ourselves and the planet better for future generations. And so what are you doing that you enjoy on a daily basis that makes you happy and that does a greater good? And so I think about, how can I affect the planet in the biggest way? I can help people, you know, eat in a better way that's tasty, that makes them leaner, that makes them stronger, and makes them healthier. And that's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
You know, and if I can teach them how to move in a way that's instinctive, that'll help them get leaner and stronger and healthier and have a lot of fun while they're doing it, I'm going to do that. And that's what I strive for every single day. And for people out there, there is a choice. There's something else out there besides the monotony of isolated training and also getting on a piece of cardio with a TV 1 foot in front of your face and zoning out for an hour and feeling like that's your choice. There's so much more out there. It's incredible. Have fun with movement. Crawl around. Jump up and do some jumping rope and learn how to do a bunch of tricks.
Phew.
You know, climb over furniture. Just have fun with things. Try our workouts and stuff and play with little kids. You know, get out there and run with your dog and do different types of movements that you have fun and that from your heart make you smile. And that stuff will reap incredible benefit for you just on movement. On the eating point, you know, we don't have to eat as much food. Eat just less. Eat less food. You'll have lots more energy. Eat plant-based because you'll do yourself and the planet good. And that will make, and you'll lose fat. You'll feel a lot better. And you're going to do everybody a lot better for short and long term. And both of those things you can do easy. You can do those starting right now today. And it doesn't have to be this enormously difficult thing to do. And if you want stuff to do it, whether you want to go to a gym and do our workouts or do them at home or go to a Monkey Bar gym, it's all free, and it's on our website, monkeybargym.com.
I love it.
We do that because we want to help people and planet. You know, it's free.
I love everything you're saying. And the thing that I didn't realize before, this whole thing about moving the whole body. We are such a reductionist society. We're a reductionist in so many ways with medicine, where we have specialists that look at one part of the body, not the other. And on the planet, we are all connected. We share the same air, the same water. And we all need to realize how connected we all need to move together. So it just all makes sense that we need to exercise our bodies this way and move our bodies as a whole, not as different pieces. It's brilliant.
Exactly.
So thank you so much for joining me on It's All About Food. It was really a pleasure talking to you and hearing your energy, and I can't wait to go to monkeybargym.com.
Thank you very much, and I hope you all have a great day.
Okay, I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. I want to thank my guest, John Hines, and Maya Dow. And I'm Karen Hartglass, and you can send me an email at info@realmeals.org. I need to hear from you. Okay? Have a delicious week.